One of the primary factors that contributes to stress in our lives is fear. One of the causes of anxiety is fear. One of the things that steals our peace and steals our rest is fear. Now, I'm not talking about fear in the sense of reverence of God, because Scripture uses that word. For example, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And that idea of fear means an awesome wonder and a respect and a healthy fear for God. I'm not talking about that kind of fear. Nor am I talking about a healthy fear or avoidance of dangerous things. I'm talking about the fear of things that may or may not be true or real, that may or may not happen. I'm talking about the fear that is used to manipulate and control other people. I'm talking about the fear that controls us, the fear that shapes our outlook on life and others, the fear that causes us to make decisions that are based on that fear. Now, fear in the normal sense is a human emotion that is triggered by a perceived threat. That threat may well be real, or it may be something that is imagined. But it's a basic survival mechanism in us that signals our bodies to respond to the danger with either fight or flight kind of response. And as such, that healthy kind of fear is an essential part of keeping us safe. However, what we find, and I think we find it in an increasing alarming amount in our society today, is that when people live in constant fear, whether it is from physical dangers in their environment or the threats that they perceive, they can become incapacitated to live healthy spiritual lives. The effects of fear, and I'm not talking about the fear of God, or I'm not talking about the healthy fear of snakes or fires or trains or whatever. I'm talking about that sustained, irrational, unnecessary, and unhealthy fear. The effects of fear have been studied largely in the medical field, and it impacts our physical health. Fear weakens our immune systems. It can cause cardiovascular damage. It can cause gastrointestinal problems. It can lead to accelerated aging and even premature death. Fear affects our memory. Fear can impair a person, the formation of long-term memories in a person. It can cause damage in certain parts of the brain. This can make it even more difficult to regulate fear, and it leaves a person anxious most of the time. To someone in chronic fear, the whole world looks scary. Fear affects the way our brain processes and reacts to things. It interrupts the process, which allows us to regulate emotions and read nonverbal cues and to reflect before acting or to act ethically. Fear can impact our thinking and our decision-making in negative ways, leaving us susceptible to intense emotions and impulsive reactions. And all of these leave us unable to act appropriately when we let fear take control of our lives. Studies have shown that fear affects our overall mental health, including long-term fatigue, post-traumatic stress disorder, ongoing depression. And I believe that a lot of people right now in our culture are being shaped by fear and making decisions that are based on the fear that is being perpetrated in our culture today. I think that we live in a culture of fear. Much of today's political climate is immersed in fear. It's immersed in the tactics of fear. Fear is used to manipulate people. Fear, people are being conditioned to respond in fear. Much has been written about the climate and the culture of fear. Back 15 years ago, BBC did a documentary series called The Power of Nightmares, and the subtitle of that documentary was The Rise of the Politics of Fear. And the journalist argued that politicians, not just here in America, but around the world, have used our fears to increase their power and their control over society. And what happens when fear begins to dominate in a culture is that real issues are blown up out of proportion. They stoke our fears and they generate our dependence on other people and the government in particular to solve the problems and to deal with the issue. Think about what we get today in our media. It's a constant barrage. We hear the fear of gun violence and mass shootings, the fear of the crash in the stock market, the fear of recession, the fear of global warming, the fear of diseases. You know, the latest strain of flu comes around and 10 people out of 300 plus million have died from it, and everybody's in a panic about the flu. And it can be other things, you know, something you get from a mosquito or whatever. And I'm not wanting to downplay the physical effects of those things, but our culture today and our media fuels our sense of fear. Fear of terrorism. That goes back to the Oklahoma City bombing, but exponentially that grew after 9/11. Fear of military threats from other nations, fear of losing our freedoms. You could just add to that list, ad infinitum, of all of the things that we constantly hear or are bombarded with that can generate fear in our minds and in our hearts. And so this is the kind of scenario that we hear and that we put into practice, I think, in our life. Well, if this happens, and you can fill in the blank, if this happens, then these terrible things are going to happen to me. If this happens, then these terrible things are going to happen to you, or these terrible things are going to happen to our country. And I think more and more fear is used to sell policies and decisions, and we let fear motivate us if we don't put our trust in God. And we've got it on both sides of the aisle in our political arena today. Well, if you vote this way, then the economy is going to collapse. If you don't support the president, civil war is going to break out. Illegal immigrants are going to overrun our country and take all our jobs. If you don't impeach the president, the country is going to fall apart. If you support a certain agenda, your freedoms will be taken away, and you could add to that list. And the majority of our media and the majority of the political campaigns that are out there today traffic in peddling fear. Most of the headlines focus on these should be your reasons to be afraid. And the more you read and the more you listen and the more you buy into what you see and hear, the more fear-driven you become and I become. So I want to tell you three things, and then we're going to look at three specific scriptures in the New Testament. The first thing that I want you to see is that the more you allow yourself to be driven by fear, the weaker your faith will be. When you take your eyes off God and you put your trust in other things, the result is fear. So the more you let yourself be driven by fear, the more it pulls you away from God and it weakens your faith. The second thing that I want you to see, and that we'll talk about a little bit more as we look at these scriptures, is the more you let fear consume you, the less you will love others. Now, that seems like an odd statement to make, but I believe it's true. The more you let fear consume you, the less you will love others. And here's the reason why. Because when you become consumed with fear, your entire focus turns to yourself and your own self-preservation, and you don't really care that much about others because you're intent on preserving yourself. The more you let your decisions be shaped by fear, the less you will trust God in the details of life. So these three things I want you to tuck away in your mind, and then we're going to look at some scriptures. The more you allow yourself to be driven by fear, the weaker your faith will be. And the more you let fear consume you, the less you will love others. And lastly, the more you let your decisions be shaped by fear, the less you will trust God in the details of life. So let's look at three different scriptures from the New Testament. The first one is found in the book of 2 Timothy, and it's in the first chapter. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And I'm just going to read verse 7. I'm going to read it first in using a word from older translations, but then I'll use it in the NIV. For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and self-discipline. And the NIV and some newer translations say, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and self-discipline. Timothy was a protege of the Apostle Paul. He was living in an age where there was much godlessness. And it's interesting, if you read 2 Timothy chapter 3, it's like it's describing our culture today. And Paul is warning Timothy. He says, people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And Paul says to Timothy, have nothing to do with them. So Timothy was living in an age where there was a lot of what you would consider godlessness. But he had grown up with a strong faith that had been passed down to him from his grandmother to his mother to himself. And Paul encourages Timothy in this passage as he's writing this letter to him to let God fan into flame the gift that he had given to Timothy. And then he tells Timothy in this seventh verse a truth that is true for all of us. And he starts off by saying, God has not given us a spirit of fear. Now, the word in the Greek language is translated at three different ways: timidity, fearfulness, or cowardice. And in NIV and other translations, it says, God has not given us a spirit of timidity. So the truth that is conveyed to us that applies to us today is God has not given us a spirit of fear or timidity or fearfulness or cowardice. The opposite is true, that God gives us a spirit of power. And with that power comes confidence and comes trust in Him. God has given us a spirit of love. God has given us a spirit of self-discipline or a sound mind. So God has not given us a spirit of timidity or fearfulness, but He has given us, we need to absorb this into our minds and into our hearts, He has given us a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of self-discipline or a sound mind. And what that means for us is that we do not need to be controlled by fear. We need to be disciplined and think soundly. And that means not reacting and jumping to conclusions. We need to let love control our thinking and our responses, because when we react out of fear, we tend to lash out at people. We tend to become angry at people. We need to be disciplined and think soundly. We need to let love control our thinking and responses. And we need to let God's power in us give us the confidence in whatever we face. So all of these things are the opposite of being controlled by fear. Being disciplined and thinking soundly, letting love control our thinking and responses, and letting the power of God give us confidence in whatever we face. And above all, we need to remember that fear does not come from God. A spirit of fear does not come from God. Hence, our view of what is happening in our world today should not be controlled by fear. God is ultimately in control. The second scripture I want us to look at is back a few pages in the book of Galatians, in the fifth chapter, in the sixth verse. And I'll explain the connection as we go through this. Paul is writing to Christians, and he says to them, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself in love. If you look at the whole context of Galatians chapter 5, Paul is writing about the freedom that we have in Christ through faith. And that by that faith, we eagerly await God's righteousness for which we hope. And that righteousness is not just something personally that we experience, but he's looking at a time where we look ahead in history to a time when Christ returns, and he brings judgment, and he brings righteousness, and he brings justice. And so Paul is saying to these believers, we wait eagerly for God's righteousness for which we hope. And then, interestingly, he makes this comment that in the sixth verse that we read, in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. What is Paul saying there? I think what he's saying is, it doesn't matter what your background is, it doesn't matter what your religious experience has been, it doesn't matter where you come from, circumcision, uncircumcision, doesn't matter what your nationality is, it doesn't matter what your ethnicity is, it doesn't matter how religious your family was, it doesn't even matter what your family background is. What matters is that we are in Christ through faith. That's what matters, that we are in Christ through faith. And here's the thing, Paul goes on to tell us how our faith is expressed, how it's lived out. And he says, faith expresses itself through love. Now, what does any of that have to do with responding to the things around us in fear? Well, I think it's this. Faith and love should shape our response to everything that is happening around us. Whether in our personal lives and families, our nation, or our world, faith and love, particularly faith expressing itself through love, should shape our response to everything that is happening around us, our personal lives, our families, our nation, our world. And what that means is this: fear should not shape our response to what is happening around us. Fear should not dictate our decisions. Faith expressing itself in love should. So to Timothy, Paul says, and God says to us, God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And Paul is saying that that spirit that comes through faith is lived out in our life and expressed through love. And faith and love should shape our responses to what's happening in the world around us. The fourth scripture I want us to look at is in 1 John chapter 4. And I'm going to read verses 13 through 18. I don't have all those verses up there, so there's a couple of them that are missing in the middle. So if you have your Bibles, you can figure that out while I read. We know that we live in Him, talking about in Christ, and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son, His Son, to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment, and the one who fears is not made perfect in love. When we put our faith in Jesus Christ, God puts His Spirit in us. God lives in us through His Spirit, and because of that, we can trust in Him and we can rely on His love. God's love is made complete in us, John is saying in this passage. So we can have confidence because of God's love that is made complete or perfect in us. We can have confidence on the day of judgment. We don't have to fear that coming day. And that implies that we can have confidence in God's love today and each day. There is no fear in love. Perfect love drives out fear. Now, while other places in Scripture use the word fear in different ways, either to refer to fear in our human lives or fear in terms of reverence and awe of God, the Greek word that's used here for fear doesn't have anything to do with the kind of fear or reverence or respect for God, it means panic, flight, terror, alarm. So what John is saying to us is that perfect love drives out panic, flight, terror, fear, alarm. We don't have to fear the judgment day if we have faith in Christ. And I'm going to suggest to you that we don't have to fear any of the things that tend to instigate and feed fear in our world today. There was a part where Jesus said to his disciples, you know, don't fear the one who can kill your body but cannot kill your soul. We don't need to live in fear of what's happening in our world today, because God's perfect love in us drives out fear, because we know that we belong to him. I want to close by giving you this challenge as you think about these scriptures. And primarily, I'm speaking to believers, those who have put their faith and trust in Christ. If you have not yet become a believer and not yet put your faith and your trust in Christ, you can be afraid. But you don't have to be. And I'll explain that in a minute. And I think too much we as believers let our circumstances, our environment, the things that are happening in our world today dictate how we view things, how we respond, how we live, and we let fear take a hold of us. And in different ways, we have different fears. I'm not afraid of the flu. I'm not afraid somebody's going to break into my house. I'm not afraid of a lot of things. But then there are things that I am afraid of. Will I be able to survive in retirement? Will I be able to provide for my family? What if this happens to, you know, one of my kids? You probably have a set of things that can become fears and take hold of you if you let them. But I think the challenge of Scripture is we don't have to live in fear. If you're a believer because you have faith in Christ and His Spirit is in you, do not let yourself be driven by fear. You don't have to be driven by fear. Don't make decisions that are based on fear, and don't allow fear to control your mind. Let God's Spirit control your mind. Let His Word control your mind. And it's so easy for us today, especially in the culture in which we live in, it's easy to be reactionary and to make decisions based on fear that we let take a hold in our mind. But we have the Spirit of God in us. And that Spirit of God in us, the perfect love of God in us, drives out fear. So if you have faith in Jesus Christ and His Spirit is in you, I want to encourage you today, don't let yourself be driven by fear. Don't make your decisions based on fear. Don't allow fear to control your mind. The second thing I want you to take away from this morning is this. Don't let fear keep you from loving others as God commands. You know why there's, you know, if you look at most of the conflicts between different countries and different nations, you look at what's going on in Syria and the mess that's there, so much of that underlying it is fear. Fear of the other, fear of what this country is going to do, fear of what this government is going to do, fear of what this terrorist group is going to do. And when you begin thinking that way, it becomes a me and them mentality, an us and them mentality. Don't let fear keep you from loving others as God's command. Your faith must be expressed in love, and there is no room for hate. And I think fear and hate are two sides of the same coin. I think they go together. When we fear, it's easy for us to begin to hate, or easy for us to begin to say, that's those people over there, those people over there. I'm afraid of them. I don't want to have anything to do with them. And yet, the Scripture tells us that perfect love drives out fear. Your faith must be expressed in love. There is no room in our lives for hate. And then the third thing is this. Ask God to fill you with the assurance of his love, and let God's love give you confidence and drive out fear. I think a lot of times we struggle because in our mind, we know and we've heard that God loves us, that he's given his son Jesus for us, and that if we just trust in him, we become part of his family. But it doesn't somehow get from our mind down into our heart. And we need to, God wants us to have the assurance that we belong to him. If we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we belong to him. He wants us to have the assurance that he loves us. And we need to let that love give us confidence and drive out fear so that whatever's happening around us, whether it's in our personal sphere of life or whether it's in our community or whether it's in our nation or whether it's in our world, whatever's going on around us, we can have the assurance, I belong to God. My life is in his hands. He loves me. He's put his spirit within my heart, and I can have confidence that he can drive out the fear, and I can trust in him. The only thing we should be afraid of is our eternal destiny if we are outside of faith in Christ. That's what we should be afraid of. But if we have put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we don't have to live in fear. And this morning, if you're sitting here thinking, yeah, I don't really know where I stand with God, you can know. You can make a decision this morning. You can kneel at an altar, but you don't have to kneel at an altar. I mean, right where you're sitting, you can make a decision this morning that you believe that God is the sovereign God of this universe, that he loves us so much that he gave his own son Jesus, that whoever believes in him will not perish, will not have to live in fear of what eternity holds for them, but can have confidence and trust. When you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, he forgives us, he gives us new life, he adopts us into his family, he gives us his spirit. And if you're not there, you can be. I have a CD at home by Jars of Clay, which is a Christian band that was maybe more popular a decade or so ago. And the name of the album is Much Afraid. And I think without God in our world today, without Christ in our hearts through his Spirit, we can be much afraid. I mean, I'm not wanting to downplay what's happening in our world today. We can be much afraid. But with Christ in our heart, with his Spirit living in us, with the Spirit that God has given us, we do not have to live in fear. We can live in confidence, and we can address those things that are happening in our world with confidence and with love. Not with hate, not with anger, but with love. Faith expresses itself in love. Perfect love drives out fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear or timidity, but of power and of love and a sound mind. And my prayer is that God will help me to live that way in the world in which we live, because I don't do social media, and I'm not a Facebookie or whatever the term is for that. But I read a lot of news. I mean, too much news. I mean, I'm all the time, ask Jenny. You know, I told you last week, put the phone down. I'm speaking to myself, because all you got to do is a couple clicks. You got all the latest news feeds of what's happening in the world today, and it's not good. And if I just look at that, there's reason to fear. But I don't have to look at that, because I know that God is in control of all things, and ultimately he is in control of my life. And so I don't have to live in fear of what's going to happen to me or my family, or our church, or our nation, or our world, because God is ultimately in control, and we can trust him, and his love in us drives out fear. And that doesn't mean that, we're never, ever again going to wrestle with insecurities and those things that pop up, because we do. But we have an answer to it, because when that fear comes up and those insecurities come up and I start feeling that tension and that panic in my heart, I can say, nope, God is in control. I trust him. I belong to him. He loves me. His love is in me. His spirit is in me. And his spirit drives out the fear. And my prayer is that we will know that in our lives. And my prayer this morning is that you will know that in your personal life. And if you have not taken a step to give your life to Christ and to put your faith in him and to receive his love in you, you can do that this morning. We're just going to close in a moment of quiet prayer. There's not going to be any music or anything. If you've got some like fears and anxieties and things that you're dealing with and you just feel like you need to lay them down, you can do that where you're sitting. You can do that at these altars. But if you've never taken that step to put your faith in Christ and you feel like you're kind of on the outside, come in. Take a step in today. And you can come and pray someone, or you can find me or someone else, and we'll be happy to pray with you after the service. But let's just take a moment. We'll take a minute here, at 2 minutes as we close, just in silent prayer, and then I'll dismiss us in prayer. Lord, we admit that we look at our lives and our world today, and there are so many reasons that we could be afraid. We have concerns about our health, and something happens, and it's easy to become obsessed with that and afraid. I hear news about a friend who is maybe 2 years older than me, who died completely unexpectedly of a heart attack. One breath between talking to his family and then minutes later talking to you face to face, which is awesome. But we tend to fear those kind of things. Like, what if that happens to me? What if that happens to my family member? We look at the violence that is so prevalent in our community and in our world. We look at the up and down fluctuations in things like the stock market and the economy. We look at stresses that are between us and other nations. We look at war and conflict in other nations. And really, apart from you, God, there is much reason to be afraid. And yet you've told us that we don't have to be. We don't have to be driven by fear. We don't have to be motivated by fear. We don't have to make our decisions based on fear. And I pray that you will help me and help each one of us to live in that kind of reality of being assured that we belong to you, that you have given us your spirit, and that is not a spirit of timidity and fear, but a spirit of love and power and self-discipline. Help us to be people who live out that love and that faith and that self-discipline in face of all the things that may cause us fear. We trust you. We know that you love us. We know that we belong to you. And we pray that your love, your perfect love, would cast out any fear in our lives, and that you will help us to trust you explicitly and wholeheartedly, and to keep doing that day after day after day, every time that we're faced with those things that stir up fear in our hearts and minds. We pray that you will turn our gaze to you and be reminded of the fact that you love us. And you are with us. Hear our prayers now that we give to you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.